This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're on the radio at KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica stations, and on TV at Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. Many of you may have never heard of I.F. Stone, the great muckraking journalist who was a thorn in the side of presidents and other elected officials. But while Stone may have died in 1989, his legacy does live on, not in most of our traditional media outlets, but in the form of bold independent journalists who have dedicated their lives and careers to uncovering the lies and deceptions of those in power. Now, a new documentary makes the case for why I.F. Stone's journalism is more important than ever before. Fred Peabody is a journalist and filmmaker, and he is the director of the new film, All Governments Lie. Welcome to the program, Fred.
Thanks, Sonali. Great to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. And the name of the entire name of the film is All Governments Lie, Truth, Deception, and the Spirit of I.F. Stone. So for those who had never heard the name, or maybe simply heard the name but didn't know much about him, who was I.F. Stone, and why was his style of journalism so important?
Well, All Governments Lie, the title of our film, is a famous quote by I.F. Stone, famous at least to those who are fans of I.F. Stone. But as you pointed out, he's not that well known to the general public today. We hope to change that, of course, with this film. But I.F. Stone, for decades, published a little four-page newsletter, just like this, I.F. Stone's Weekly, out of his house. And you could subscribe to it. I subscribed to it when I was, I think I was 19, and a friend told me, you should really subscribe to this little weekly, because it's the only place you'll be able to read the truth about what the U.S. government's actually doing in Vietnam, and you know, the truth about various U.S. government policies. I was in Toronto at the time, but like everyone in the world, we are very much affected by the policies of the U.S. government. And so anyway, I subscribed to it, and I did find it, you know, a breath of fresh air and very different from what I was seeing in the mainstream media. So I kind of just started Googling I.F. Stone about 4 years ago because I missed that. I missed that, and I wanted to get back to reading some of his I.F. Stone's weekly issues, which he stopped doing in 1971. And so, yeah, I may be wandering here, but does that answer part of the question?
Yes, of course. So certainly in the tradition of people like I.F. Stone, we do have journalists today, but they don't have money backing them as somebody who might write for the New York Times or be a broadcaster on CNN. But let's talk about the need for such journalists as well. I mean, of course, we've had scandal. You know, every presidential tenure is often rocked by some scandal or another. They don't always get the kind of attention they deserve. Maybe many of us might think of the most one of the most high-profile scandals in recent memory being the claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, which laid the groundwork for a U.S. invasion of Iraq. But are those the kinds of lies and deceptions from governments that people like I.F. Stone were needed for in order to really keep our democracy healthy?
Yeah, one of the reasons I wanted to do this film is that I thought that we, today more than ever, we need journalists like I.F. Stone, journalists who are not working for news outlets, mainstream news outlets that are owned by a handful of giant corporations who are in many other businesses besides journalism and maybe making more profits from their defense industries than they are from their news network. As was the case when General Electric owned NBC, for example. And so in the run-up to the war, when the drumbeat was beginning from the White House for war in Iraq, lo and behold, MSNBC fired people on their staff who were critical of the idea of invading Iraq and were raising, you know, questions about the reasons that the White House was giving. And one of those was the highest rated show on MSNBC, the Phil Donahue Show. He was critical, and we point this, we deal with this in the film, as you know. In spite of the fact that he had the best ratings on MSNBC, General Electric just happened to have some huge defense industries that would make billions if we got into another war, or if you got into another war, as I can say from Canada. And so did that have anything to do with the fact that they fired their top-rated host, Phil Donahue, because he was critical of the war that they, you know, the GE stood to make billions from? I mean, you have to wonder. And so it seems to me that, and it seems to a lot of people, even to reporters, and there are some very good reporters working within the mainstream media. They do what they can. And when you're inside the mainstream media, you don't even see these kind of invisible walls. You kind of have it gets absorbed into your consciousness that, well, this is a story that my assignment editor will approve, and well, this wouldn't be a story that he'd approve, and it's automatically kind of fall into the mindset of the mainstream media, which is basically, you know, they don't rock the boat. They don't attack huge corporations, and they don't do a lot of investigating of government lies. People like I.F. Stone, even in his day when he started the I.F. Stone's Weekly in 1953, the White House press corps were not crying foul on the lies coming out of various U.S. government agencies and out of the White House. He was able to do, and he was a solid reporter. He wasn't an ideologue. He was a solid journalist who would go to the government's own documents and show that they were lying about things in Vietnam when we got to that era. But even back when he started in the 50s at the height of the McCarthy era, he was one of the first sort of national journalists to point out how terrible it was what McCarthy was doing, Senator Joseph McCarthy, with his witch hunt, basically.
And so today, I mean, even though there are editors who would rather have their media outlets not rock the boat, every now and then you have a story that would rock the boat, but in a positive direction. You have someone like Donald Trump, whose candidacy can bring a windfall for media outlets, because he is, you know, so outrageous that ratings go up every time you simply turn your camera on this man. And of course, what that does is very much skew the popularity of a candidate like him, which is certainly not good for our democracy. You made this film late enough to incorporate the primary election and Trump's rise to fame. Today, Trump is still close enough to the White House to freak a lot of people out. Is it partly the media's fault?
Yeah, I think that it's pretty obvious that the mainstream media gave Trump a platform, a bigger platform than anyone that I think in a presidential campaign had ever been given, to the point where, like, he could just phone in and do an interview, and they'd put him on the air. They were so eager to get Donald on the air because he was good for ratings. Everybody else would have to, you know, show up for an interview. But as you might have noticed in the early days, anyway, of Trump's campaign, many of his interviews with big outlets like CNN, MSNBC would be done, and Fox would be done on the phone. They were cutting him a break, so to speak, because he was good for ratings. It's almost like professional wrestling becomes a big hit, and so some network or other runs wall-to-wall wrestling to the point where they, even their own audience, gets sick of it, and then they start dialing back. And I think that's kind of what you saw happening with the mainstream media. That it almost seemed like the switch was thrown, and all of a sudden they were all attacking Donald Trump at some point a few months. It's not like they didn't know who or what Donald Trump was, what he stood for. I think it's just that they were catching flack for their kind of feeding like pigs at a trough, you know, to wallow in the ratings bonanza that Donald Trump was giving them.
And then all of a sudden they
realized, we actually are making ourselves look bad here, and people are getting sick of it. So then it became wall-to-wall attacking Donald Trump.
Let's talk about the independent journalists who you profile, who are keeping I.F. Stone's legacy alive. People like Jeremy Scahill and Glenn Greenwald and many other young journalists, and how they would cover the Trump candidacy with as much scrutiny as they would cover the Clinton candidacy. And in fact, many of them are not afraid to cover Hillary Clinton and some of the legitimate concerns of her presidential candidacy, despite some discomfort on the left of critiquing Clinton at a time when Trump is close to the White House.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I.F. Stone was well known for, is that his insistence on being his own man. He was not a camp follower. I mean, yes, he was what you might call a progressive journalist, but he didn't kind of march along with every single thing that the majority of people on the left were in favor of. And he was willing to lose subscribers by taking what he knew sometimes would be an unpopular position or writing about stories factually in a way that he thought might alienate some of his subscribers, and in fact did. I mean, he lost subscribers when back in the mid-50s, when even Life magazine was writing, or early 50s, 1953, Life magazine, Time magazine were writing stories about, you know, very positive stories about the Soviet Union. I.F. Stone went over there, and I think it was 1954, and he came back and just wrote about how horrible it was over there, and virtually a police state, and you know, freedom of the press was not even on the list of things that they had over there and or wanted as far as the government was concerned. And so he wrote a big issue about, you know, what a terrible place it was over there. And he lost a lot of people on the left who were still thinking positively about what was going on in the Soviet Union and seeing hope there. He went over there and saw that, those hopes were ill-founded, and it was really a police state. Lost a lot of subscribers.
Right, so he didn't let his own ideological, he didn't let ideological perspectives actually impact his journalism. Well, I want to remind our audience, I'm speaking with Fred Peabody. He is the director of the new documentary, All Governments Lie, Truth, Deception, and the Spirit of I.F. Stone. I want to play for our audience the trailer of the documentary. It's brand new, just out. Here is the trailer of All Governments Lie.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources. Solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
When is the last time you heard CNN say the Pentagon is lying?
You know, we don't have state media in the United States, but if we had it, how would it be any different?
I think the media is really nihilistic. It's about making money. What makes money in this country happens to be avoiding difficult truths about our society.
Thousands and thousands of people were cheering as that building was coming down.
You have to get rid of this ignorant and meddlesome majority, control them, make sure they do the right things, all for their own good, incidentally.
Congresswoman, let me interrupt you just for a moment. We've got some breaking news out of Miami. Justin Bieber has been arrested on a number of charges.
Good journalism today has the state in its crosshairs, and you never want to punch down. You always want to punch up.
I would say our mission statement is to produce adversarial, fearless journalism. The more power someone wields, the more journalistic accountability and scrutiny they need.
There are policies that have been enacted. There are bombs that have been dropped, as a consequence of which these millions of people are destitute in the way that they are. And we have to allow them to tell that story.
There's only two types of reporters. There's those who care and those who don't. Most of them don't care.
I'm amused at people who claim that the governments don't lie. Really? You know human beings that never lie? Of course they lie!
I tried to prove what I was saying from the horse's mouth, as it were, using the government's own documents.
I can draw a line from Eye of Stone directly to what I'm doing now.
I thought, how could the President of the United States be involved in something this dumb at the beginning?
We're being dumbed down, we're being watered down, and we're being told information which is false.
Make these people own this shit.
When the media acts as a conveyor belt for the lies, why it matters is because lies take lives.
I find in our own government documents nothing but lies.
And you've been watching and listening to the trailer of the new documentary, All Governments Lie, Truth, Deception, and the Spirit of Eye of Stone. The film's director, Fred Peabody, is with me. And Fred, we just heard the voices of Jeremy Scahill, Glenn Greenwald, Amy Goodman, Michael Moore, Chris Hedges, and many other sort of superstars of the independent journalism world. Where can our audience actually watch this film, particularly if they want to watch it within the next week before the election? How can they get it for themselves if they want to own it, etc.?
Well, I have good news if you live in New York City or Los Angeles, and bad news, I guess, if you live anywhere else. At the moment, we are working on getting nationwide distribution in the United States and Canada, but we are opening for a 1 week run in New York City this Friday, November 4th, and also in Los Angeles. On Friday, November the 4th. In LA, it's going to be showing at the Lemley Music Hall 3 on Wilshire and Beverly Hills. And in New York City, it's going to be at Cinema Village, which is near Union Square. And five shows a day, I believe, at both theaters for 7 days. So if you live in those cities, you can see it. We are hoping to get it around to many film festivals in the coming months, and we are going to be showing in San Francisco, actually, on the 6th and 7th. So if you go on our website, allgovernmentslie.com, you should see the details on the San Francisco screening. And we'll be trying to bring it to your city, wherever you are, as soon as possible. It may take a couple of months before we get a major distribution deal, but we're working on it. And Oliver Stone has come on board as executive producer to help us get this film to a wider audience, get more attention to it. So we're very honored that Oliver Stone likes this film, feels it's important, and wanted to help us get it out there.
Well, good luck to you, Fred. Again, that website is allgovernmentslie.com, where people can get details about screenings, etc. And I'm sure if it's out on DVD in the future, you'll probably post it there as well. Thank you so much, Fred. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Fred Peabody is a journalist and filmmaker, director of the new documentary All Governments Lie, Truth, Deception, and the Spirit of Eye of Stone. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.